That because of me the whole world was created and I'm very important and so on, to build himself up. And on the other hand, in the other pocket, he's supposed to have the memory of Onechi of Ve'efer when he's feeling too filled up with himself and too much of a Balgaiva. He has to counteract it. I think I once heard from one of the Hasidim that said, that, you know, we Hasidim, we are vests, so we have both pockets. But you Litvisha, you only have a shirt pocket. I wonder what you have in there. Anyways, but and I have a similar type of two drushes. One drusha that I give by Shabbos Shuva, and another one by Shabbos Hazal. Two different drushes, which they sort of the opposite, but it depends on the time of the year that you're dealing with. And for a little sake of some promotion, there was a chinuch round table like this several years ago, that somebody sent in a question about their son, who was, you know, basically a kid at risk. That was it. The problem didn't make really much of a difference. It was a regular case of a kid at risk where the child was very disillusioned with Yiddishkeit and so on and so forth. And I don't know if he was going to go off the derech, but the mother was having a very hard time raising him. So in that case, I wrote something in, and usually when you write something in to the chinuch round table, I always wonder if, you know, if the question was real, maybe it was just some yeshiva guy that was having a good time, you know, sending in a Masifta kid that was sending in a question, and making believe it was somebody else. You never know. Granted, by this time, I got a phone call back from the lady to say how much she enjoyed it, and she used to call me afterwards, was late from Boston or something, I don't know who she was even, you know, to help her out. And what I said was like this, I told her the yisoy of, it's yisoy from the Me'er Shiloyach. He says something that when you first hear it is very astounding. And he says that sometimes a yid doesn't have bechira. That is, that there are certain situations where what you did under the circumstances is not your fault, and your bechira is to see how you're going to react to it. In other words, like this, that let's say you have, we'll talk about a very extreme case. You have a fellow who, a kid, who was brought up in an abusive household. And the father, the mother was a nobody, and the father was abusive, and the whole thing was dysfunctional, gefarlach, mishum. And now, this kid, you know, so he was in school, obviously he wasn't a good student, because he was too distracted, because his whole household was too much in the air. So he wasn't a good student, so he didn't enjoy learning, he wasn't enjoying the whole process, the whole intellectual activity of being in yeshiva wasn't gishmak. So what do? He automatically gravitated to boys who were in a certain, who were like boys like him, right? And then what are boys like that? They're not going to get the satisfaction from the regular yeshiva thing because that doesn't do it for them, because they can't study because of their situation. This kid's dyslexic, that kid's whatever, it's all good. So then what do they do? They need some sort of other entertainment, so they gravitate towards that, and one thing leads to another and so on and so forth, and there's no step in the process that's surprising. That means anybody who had because they could have not necessarily predicted what would happen, but certainly in retrospect could understand the Siva Misoibe of that which occurred. And there was no Chiddush, it was automatic. Now, as opposed to, let's say, a Rasha who wakes up one day with a perfectly beautiful, wholesome home, if you can imagine the thing, and the parents and the father and mother are speaking the same language, and everybody's together. And the kid decides one day, I'm going wrong. I don't know if such a thing could happen, but that's a rush. That's a rush you could point to. But the Eibishter, if a kid has a problem and a kid reacted to his environment in such a manner that makes sense, so if I can understand it and anybody else objectively observing could understand it, then the Eibishter Zecher could understand it. So the Eibishter not mean man. So that's what I wrote. I said, a lot of times, if a kid doesn't avera, and a kid at risk almost doesn't avera, he has to understand that to a certain degree, that I'm really getting circumstances that might be not, maybe let it go to the extreme. He says that Imam Shalal Bechira, there could be a person that doesn't avera that would be on the scope of his Bechira. Now that's obviously a very dangerous concept. But it's for sure true as a very strong mitigating circumstance that you can't treat somebody who didn't avera because of strong mitigating circumstances like somebody who didn't avera because of no mitigating circumstances. That's beyond the pale of possibility. For sure, mitigating circumstances exist. And therefore, you have to mechazik a guy like that, that what you did is not your fault to a certain degree, and bounce back, and you're the slayer to see how you're going to recover from that situation. And in a sense, that's the Shabbat Shuvah drasha, because by every Shabbat Shuvah, we feel like, okay, last year it came and went, and we're down, we're not getting anything done with ourselves, and we're nobody, and so forth, and you have to be chazak to Yisrael Ish, and it's time to, put what, Akharibot was not a mean man, and he understands what happened to you, and I'm sure there was a reason for it, and so forth, but you have to be chazak yourself to move on. That's one drasha. That drasha sort of, in a sense, says that you're not responsible. But that's the drasha for Shabbat Shuvah. But I think the Shabbos Hagadol drasha in Parshas HaChodesh is the opposite drasha. That you are responsible for your actions. And because a person has to take that also sometimes. Because when you're feeling down, and you're feeling like a nobody, because you feel like a loser and you're a chayteh and so forth, then you have to realize, yeah, that was my circumstances. You can't out to hear Rasha before Atmecha. The Baal Tanya is marred about this. Says, if you look at yourself as a Rasha, then you're doomed. You can't look at yourself as a Rasha. That's not allowed. And if to look at yourself as being subject to circumstances is a way of getting out of it, that's it. But on the other hand, there has to be another pocket, and that's the opposite Rasha. That's the Rasha where you take responsibility for your action, and you say, you know what, I have the Chira, and I am not locked into what happened in the past, and I can change, and I can move forward. And that's the Rasha, I think that's the Shabbat Lod Rasha. Why? Because Parsha HaChodesh. This week is Parsha HaChodesh. And all the Svarim, all the Chassidus Svarim and so forth, they say it's the time of Ischachus, Shomer Eschodesh HaAviv. Obviously, Yontif was chosen, adopted to be Chodesh HaAviv. And in fact, the whole calendrical system, the fact that we have Chodesh HaIbur and so on and so forth, is just because it's the mitzvah has to be Pesach, must come out Chodesh HaAviv, Shomer Eschodesh HaAviv. So we add days and leap years and so forth just to make the Pesach has to be B'chari Shalom. It's not, the Arabs also have the Mekadosh HaPiriyah, but they don't have, they're not Shemesh B'chari Shalom, and therefore their Ramadan, which is the whole month of fifth, they keep on moving around. So like, I went to a whole thing, the whole Arab world was in uproar because it came out in the middle of August, that the fifth, who knows, man, from 9 o'clock at night, but it's like a Gansalah Yehudim when it comes out in the middle of the year, because every 12th month is Ramadan. But we don't have it like that. We have Shomer Chodesh HaAviv, that it's a mitzvah that Pesach has to come out by Chodesh HaAviv. And the reason is because there has to be a feeling of Ischachus. Spring, Lamaisa, spring, hope springs eternal. In the time of spring, Lamaisa, it gives a person a sense of Ischachus, a sense of possibility, a sense that you're not locked in, and a sense of moving forward. There's a famous Gemara in Shabbos, in the Kuf Mem Zayin Mem Beis. The Gemara says that there was a certain Tana that Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, and he went to a place where they had unbelievable good fruits and so forth. Famous Gemara, and Imshech Basrayu, and he started eating those good foods and so forth. The Akat Talmudei, and he forgot his learning. He had the Asa come the Mikra the Sifra. Borrowed the Mikra Achodesh Hazel Lachem. He wanted when he got up to read the pasuk of Achodesh Hazel Lachem. Omar, he said by mistake, Achirish Hayoliba, their hearts. He spoke Achodesh to Achirish. And instead of saying Lachem, he said Libam, Hacheres Hayal Libam, their hearts were mute. In other words, somehow he undermined the limud of Achodesh Hazel Lachem. And I think, I would say that the idea is as follows, that Zman Cheres, we're holding by Chodesh HaAviv. Chodesh HaAviv is the time of Ischachus. The opposite of somebody who believes in Bechira is somebody who's deterministic. Deterministic means that you have no Bechira, that everything is Sibu Mesoiviv. That any decision, that no strict determinists hold, that means there is no bechira, because everything in this world is even mesayim, and everything in science is cause and effect. You can't break it. It's all locked in. Any effect that happened was because of the sibah that was kaidamis. It's all cause and effect. There's no bechira. It's all locked in. That's strict determinism. But if you hold a bechira, that means you hold yesh meyayim. That means that you hold that what happened in the past does not lock you in, and it's not all old, and your decisions are not locked into what you had before. In fact, you can have a change, and you can be mischadish what you had now. There's a book I heard about this book from somebody who said that this book went around Panavisha Koyo. So it was written by a non-film person. It's called In Search of Meaning by Viktor Frankl. He's a psychologist who got never from, but the book is it's kedai to read it. It's amazing. But the guy came to without being from. But he, one of the things is, it's a fascinating book. One of the things he writes is as follows. He says that l'chachila his opinion was, when he was in the camp, he was in the concentration, was that there was no bechira at all. He was the complete, if there was ever somebody who had no choice about what to do with himself, it was somebody who was in the camp. Because every single minute of the day was completely regulated from 3:30 a.m. till the time you collapsed into bed. There was nothing you could do. And if you did anything on your own, then you got killed, finished. So you were a total slave without any bechira at all. But then he came to Hakara that he is a Baal Bechira. Because even though the Nazis could tell him what to do, but they can't tell him what to think. And his attitude could always be his own. And therefore, on that level, he was still very much a free man. To the degree that it was the other way around. That the Nazi guard was the behemoth who was not acting like a Boicher. And he was. I'll explain this in a second. I just say, before I explain what I'm saying, I once said this over in a shul, and there was a Holocaust survivor there, I didn't know about it, and he came up to me afterwards, and he told me that one time a guard came over to him, and he was like beating him up, and he, at Geschmeichelt, and he was smiling, and the guy says, what's making the vein? I'm beating you up now. He says, kannst mizugen was zitien? Kannst mizugen was zitien? Mom says, he can tell me what to do. He can't tell me what to think. I want to smile. I want to be happy. Now don't tell me what to think. And he said, exactly this you saw it. But what I'm trying to say is as follows. It's called mancher v'sein. Right? We're holding by Pesach time, which is mancher v'sein. Cherus means you're free. You're free to choose. So is it the same bechira when you choose l'ra as when you choose l'toyv? Is it the same bechira? It's not. And this is one of the stories that all the philosophers say, but it's different. No, this is more licentiousness. Licentiousness is a society whatever you want goes. But that doesn't mean that you're free. Free means free to do what's right. Meaning. That a person is a behemoth. A person is naturally a behemoth. And if you follow your impulses, then you'll act like a behemoth. When you act like a behemoth, you're basically a sibul misoyev person. Whatever was in your past is automatically determining what you're doing now. So, you're choosing in a sense, but you're choosing to allow your impulses to rule you. That's what you're doing. You're choosing allow the impulses. That's not a bodyguard. That's not a free person. That means, you're not being good. You're not free to do whatever you want because your impulse is ruling over you. The Nazi God is allowing his impulses to be a cruel animal to rule over him, or because he's afraid of the boss on top of him. So self-preservation is allowing him to do what's right. It's making him to do what he has to do. But it's not a free choice. It's impulsive. It's self-preservation. It's a behemoth. It's a music of a behemoth. Whereas a boicher is somebody who, in fact, chooses to go over to an act of will to go over his impulses. So Zokta of Lozen ben Arach, that in fact, when he, to a certain degree, he followed his impulses to Hakeru Shayoliba, he lost his conscience, because being a boicher is somebody who has his conscience, somebody who's able to do something new, to break free of the chain of determinism. that's chiddush. It's not locked in. Anything that any choice that you made because of siva misoyved is not new. It's just an oisvir of the siva that was beforehand. There was a cause that was beforehand that didn't yet play out. So you allowed it to play out. That's not new. A new is a choice that was not there before. That's considered hafeishazel lachem. The opposite of that is a cheresh elibam. Your heart is sealed, and you're just following your automatic impulses. When Avraham Avinu left, the first tzibur that Hashem gives him, at least the one that comes first in the Torah, is lech lecha me'adcha umilatcha mebeis avicha. Leave your land umilatcha and your place where you were born, umilbeis avicha and your household. And these are three excuses that people use to determine their behavior. Me'adcha. There was a famous, the famous determinist was Marx. He held that that everything was economic determinism. That there were certain people that were bound to have a good life, they were born rich. And there were certain people that were determined, that would be stomped to have a horrible life because they were born poor. And that was called economic determinism. So mi'artzcha is from lechocha mi'artzcha. You're not locked into your economic condition. It is not machayv your behavior. Mi'artzcha umelatcha. Melatcha is that maybe I'm locked in because of my genes. My nature locks me into who I am. That's automatically. It's in my genes. I can't change anything. So I'm melatcha. No lechocha mi'artzcha. You're not locked in because of your economic conditions, not from your genes, not from your environment. You think your environment locks you in, also not. The first secret that a Rama Vinu got was that you're a biker, and you're not locked in, and you're responsible for your actions. And that is the lesson I think that we have to take away. But that's his chashish, that the same way the Levana is mischadesh. There's always a sense of renewal, and it's at a time of spring when there's a sense of renewal. So too is the Zman Cheresenu again at this time of Iskachus. The first pasuk in this week's parsha Vayikra, the aleph, there's a small aleph, right? Vayikra el Moshe veidaber elav me'oil noyin lemar. So there's a small aleph. Instead of saying Vayikra, it could be read as Vayikar. But Rashi says here l'chol dibrois right, l'chol dibrois, l'chol amirois, l'chol tzivuyim, kod makriya, l'shem chiba. L'shem shemalachi asharis mishtamshim by the korot el zeba omar kadosh. That the idea of vayikra is that Kodesh Baruch Hu invites him and calls him in, it's a l'shem chiba. Avol, nevi'i umas ha'olam, nikla aleyem, b'l'shem arai, but nevi'i umas ha'olam, it doesn't say vayikra, rather l'shem arai, v'tumma shenemar, vayikar elikim, elikim o'bilam. So by Bilam it says Lashon Avarai Vayikar, and by all other Leviim it says Vayikra with the Aleph because he was invited to Lashon Chiba, that you know you're being invited into you're being called and invited to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's Lashon Chiba. But the Baal HaTorah points out that the Aleph is small, so well it's that's what the Baal HaTorah is saying. So it sounds like that Moshe Rabbeinu's Madrega of Nevi'is is sort of parallel to Bilam's Madrega of Nevi'is, which was also Derech Arai. It's funny, right? But obviously, it's reminiscent of the Maimon Chazal, that Chazal say that Loicham Navi Oy Loicham Bishrael Navi K'moshe Avol Umas Oyelam Kham Umanu Bilam. So it comes out that in the Chana, the Nevi'is Israel had a Vayikra and invite, a special invitation. Nevi'i Umas Ha'olam, that by Bilam there was Vayikra Derech Akroy. But in a certain sense, Moshe Rabbeinu also was Derech Akroy. That's what it sounds like, it's the fact that the Aleph is small. Magdalish Ameris. So, I want to say with Merle Diskin, I don't know if you, it's a fascinating Merle Diskin. It's such a shmak of shot that Rav Shach in the Sefer Avi Yisri, in the Yisrael Torah, he brings the whole thing verbatim. Amish, because he says it, he said the Adas, and he uses it for the Rakeh, whatever. But it's like this. To go into Parshas Balak. First, he starts like this. The Gemara says that, who wrote at the end of the first parak of Bava Basra? Who wrote the various Svarim? So it says Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Chumash, and he might have written the Chumash. He might have written Iyov, and then Shmuel wrote Malachim and Shmuel. It says who wrote the different of the Chumash Svarim. And then it says over there, it says Moshe Rabbeinu Kotev Sifroi Parshas Bilam. So Moshe Rabbeinu wrote his Sefer. Meaning he wrote the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, and he wrote Parshas Bilam. Parshas Bilam is part of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. It doesn't make any sense. So Rashi over there says, well, Parshas Bilam is mostly Mishalim. So what? It's all part of Chumash. What's going on? Then he said the whole idea that we should say that Moshe Rabbeinu had the same Madrid of Nevius as Bilam. How does one understand that? But Bilam, Harosh had the same Madrid of Nevius as Moshe Rabbeinu. It's impossible to understand. And then there's a pasuk that said that by Bilam the pasuk says so Rashi says Bilam says can I go with them? I says no. I won't curse them. I'll bless them. So Rashi says no. They don't need any shichim lebechasecha. Loi beukta loi bedusha. They don't need your thorns. No, not your honey. Just leave them alone. But what was Bilam thinking? Why would Bilam want? What was he saying? I'll give them a brach instead. What does that mean? I'll give them a brach instead. What's that supposed to mean? So I'm not going to say the whole. In Marul, the Marul Diskin, I think they have 11 different auras. Like one of them is, he says, it says that ain't shtein neviim misnam besim nechad. Right? That how do you know a Novi Sheker? You have a Novi Sheker, you kill the guy. What's the right of Novi Sheker? If they all say the same exact Novi. Nevius, then they're lying, it's collusion, and you kill the man. Well, Harry, couldn't you say it all the way around? If they're all saying the same Nevius, it's a riot, they're true, they all have the same Nevius. No, it's a riot, they're lying. Says the Merle Diskin, let's get to the cut to the chase. He says that Nevius is filtered through the personality of the Navi. That means, it's not as if the Navi, it's not as if the Kodesh Baruch places the words in your mouth, and your mouth is parroting the words that HaKadosh Baruch puts in your mouth. Not like that. There's a vision, and it depends on the clarity of the nefesh, of the Navi, to see how clear the vision will be. So you have to prepare yourself for your Navi's, and there was B'nai Navi'im school that you could send your kid to, and they could prepare to be a Navi, and so on, right? And some people were able to steig in the Navi's, and in fact clarify the nefesh, and in fact interpret the Navi's properly, and some people weren't. And there were different, and therefore there was necessarily different perceptions of the Nevi'ahs. Kishem She'ein, they were saying Shavuos, Kishem She'ein, Patofein, Shavuos, Kachin, they were saying Shavuos. If you have different faces, you have different perceptions. Two Nevi'ahs that said the same Nevi'ahs had a collusion, because they couldn't have possibly perceived it the same way. So that's why Nevi'ahs is necessarily different. Now, Bilam HaRasha realized, they said, that's how Nevi'ahs works. And Lamaisi was granted Nevi'ahs. So he said, listen, give me any Nevi'ahs. Give me a bracha of Nevi'ahs. Doesn't make a difference. I am such a corrupt nefesh that even a bracha, I'll be able to get inject my own poison into it and take a bracha and convert it into a klala. And therefore, he says, I'll bash them even. Because Baruch says, well, no thank you. Not necessary. But he says that that at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch will allow Bilam to, in fact, give a bracha to Klal Yisrael. But then the sakana existed that, in fact, he would inject his poison and convert it. So he says that that's what it means that Bu'umas Ha'ilam come, that Moshe Rabbeinu had the same Nevi'ahs as Bilam. Why? Because what do we know about Moshe Rabbeinu? Two things. He was the biggest Navi that ever was, and also he was the honor of Mikolada. Right? So says that Merle Diskin, Moshe Rabbeinu saw the Ashpak Lari Hami'ira. That means his Nevi'ahs. Why is Torah different than Nah? Why is why is Torah different than Nevi'im Ksuvim? Because the Nevi'im is pure, unadulterated Dvar Hashem. He was the honor of Mikol Adam, he was a clear glass, he was Aspaklai Hamira, and the Nevi'im was completely unadulterated or changed by his personality. He was completely no agenda. It was honor of Mikol Adam. And therefore, it was pure Dvar Hashem because of his tzidkus that was going through him, and that's what makes Torah's Moshe. The fact that it's also going to be like any other Navi. No, but every other Navi is a little bit diminished because it goes through a nefesh of a Navi who's not quite pure Dvar Hashem. But by Moshe Rabbeinu, he was pure Dvar Hashem. He didn't change it at all, and therefore the Navius was Torah's Moshe. Now, had Bilam's plan worked and the Navius would have gone through it, he would have corrupted the Navius. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu came along and gave him a Nevi'is that was pure Dvar Hashem, but not because it went through him, but because it went over his head. In other words, he was saying pure Dvar Hashem, but he wasn't saying pure Dvar Hashem because he was such a high Madrega. He was saying pure Dvar Hashem because he was such a low Madrega. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if I'm going to give you a Nevi'is, it's going to go right over your head. And therefore he was not able to adjust it, and that's why he keeps on saying, because he's trying to instill his nachash, his magic, and kesem, but it's not working because it's pure Dvar Hashem and he was not able to change it. That's basically what Merle. So says Merle Diskin, that's what it means. Moshe Rabbeinu caused a sifra in Parshas Bilam, because everything else in the Torah becomes Torah because of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu said it and it's pure Dvar Hashem. And even let's say Avraham Avinu had a Nevi'is, but when Avraham Avinu had it, it wasn't Torah because it wasn't pure Dvar Hashem. But when Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu right over the story of that Akedah with the Nevi'is, so now it is pure Dvar Hashem, so now it becomes Torah. But Bilam, Parshas Bilam, was pure Dvar Hashem without Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu already said it over as pure Dvar Hashem, and therefore he was just marking it. He cut up Sefer Parshas Bilam, beautiful shot. I think it locks it in. If it needs any more lock, again, there's a Gemara in Chelik that says, Harash loves up the whole thing. The Gemara says, Mi Berchotloi Shem Oisei Rasha Adi Yedeh Mahoyse Kavanosoi. Look at those brachas and you'll find out Mahoyse Kavanosoi, because you'll see from the brachas what his Kavanah, the Klala was. The Kula is Ha Kula Ra, and they all in fact became Klalas except for Matur Lavi Yaakov. So that member Chazal seems to say that Kula won. It was exactly like Kulam wanted. He had his kavanas of the klala, and in fact it worked. Eventually the bracha somehow converted to a klala. So it sounds like the Merle Diskin is wrong. No, it's just the opposite. Because if you look in that Gemara, the Gemara dashes all the psukim, but only from the third of the three Nevi'is of Bilam, not the first two. Matthew Aleph is in the third one. So the Targumim over there asks, why? Well, why not the first two? He says, that's why. Because the first time it says, Vayotam Hashem Dov B'fi Bilam. And the second time it says, Vayotam Hashem Dov B'fi. So therefore, it was Vayotam Hashem Dov, it was pure Dvar Hashem, those two. And those two Taka are the one that we're speaking about. That's the Parashat Bilam that could not be adulterated, that was pure Dvar Hashem, and the call didn't work. On the third one, for some reason, Kodesh Baruch Hu allowed Bilam's plan to go. So not only is it not a kasha number, this is not a shariah. That's why, because it says Vayotam Hashem Dov B'fi by the first two. Okay, what is that doing over here? Vayikra El Moshe, a regular Navi, he has to be making himself and he has to prepare himself to reach that Madrega, because he's not the etzim of that Madrega. He has to prepare himself to somehow hear the Dvar Hashem, and therefore he needs a lashon chiba in order to tune into the Dvar Hashem. Masha Enkei Bilam and Moshe Rabbeinu heard it ba'ifan arai. That means Moshe Rabbeinu heard it ba'ifan arai because he was constantly ponim b'fanim. He was constantly there. He was always at all times. The Rambam says that the difference between the Nevi'is of Moshe Rabbeinu and all of the Nevi'is is that Moshe Rabbeinu at all times was mukhum l'dvar Hashem. He didn't need the invite. He didn't need a special hachana. He was constantly mukhum v'oimeh. He had mizach himself to some degree, to that degree that he was always there. Mashenke Bilam, he was never there, and therefore it was also Ba'ifin Arai. It was in both cases, it was automatic. In one case, because he was so bad, in the other case, because he was so good. But again, that's why it says the Lashon of Vayikra, on the other hand, Lashon Chiba, but yet a Lashon of Vayikra, because he was right there, he was like post-invitation at all times. And maybe, to make one last thing, why is it at the beginning of Vayikra? Because it's very necessary, maybe, to stress at the beginning of Vayikra the Madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu, more than the other Chumashim, because I once saw an interesting thing. I once saw that the Reader's Digest, they made, you know, Reader's Digest condensed. They have Reader's Digest condensed, they have whatever, the books line up. Anyway, so they made a Reader's Digest condensed Bible. Yeah. So I didn't see the actual Bible, I just saw the advertisement for it. They said, what's in the great stories of Genesis, the ethical laws of Exodus? What's out? All the boring rituals of Leviticus. You know, they're just boring. And there's details and who knows what, you know what I mean? So, then that gets out. And if somebody has resistance to be macabre, you know, where do you really have to believe that everything's pure Dvar Hashem? When it comes to Vayikra, where the whole thing is about details and prote protein and exactly which chronos and which before, which I mean, and can't say the kachem about details and further details and further. That's where it's vital to hear that every single part of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevi'ah was not his own interpretation. It was all pure Dvar Hashem. It was very vital, particularly when a person has more of a resistance. You don't mind hearing that righteous and Shemoy. Okay, that sounds like Dvar Hashem. You know, it's logical, nice stories, inspiring, and so forth. But Vayikra, maybe you got it wrong. Maybe his Nevi'ah wasn't perfect. You know, who knows? Maybe over here, Vayikra, it's very important to hear that there was a Lashon Chiba of Vayikra, and that at the same time, it was Vayiker. It was like Moshe Rabbeinu's special madrega of being completely in tune to Eichel.